and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I am your host, Harley. Joining me on this episode is previous guest, singer-songwriter, and close friend, Ellie Rialis. Ellie has hopped on to this episode to talk to me about her greatest musical influence, the Beatles. Now, of course, Ellie is not alone in being influenced by the Beatles, and really that's at the core of what we talk about today. Perhaps you listening have wondered what the big fuss was with the Beatles, why so many people seem to love them in their music. And that's what we talk about. We look at the cultural impact, some of the songs, the iconography, and so much more that goes into making them the absolute pop culture sensation that they are. So, without further ado, let's get into this episode. This is The Beatles with Ellie Rialis. Hello, Ellie, and welcome back to the Fundamentals Podcast.
Hi, Harley. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you back on. It has been too long since we've spoken, I think just in general, never mind.
Oh, it absolutely has. Life is crazy. All these musicals I'm watching. Jokes. No musicals in the last year.
I know, right? I'm trying to think if I've watched any, actually, since... I jumped on board with Hamilton when it came out after our last chat. And absolutely loved it.
I knew you would.
it's phenomenal. I mean, it doesn't need my praise. Everyone's praising it, but still, absolutely loved it. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go back and watch some more. I know I've definitely increased my watching of musicals since then. Again, they've opened up a little space for me, so I'm going to keep my eye out. But like you said, there hasn't been much in the way of new stuff, sadly. But hopefully that'll change.
I'm holding my breath a little bit because, you know, there was a time where they were like, yes, we can go again with theatres, and then it was like, no. And but yeah, like you said, there will be a time, so yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, but speaking really of kind of, well, not of musicals but of music, you've got another sort of music related topic for yourself, and that is the Beatles.
Yeah.
Now, I reached out to you for this because I was just thinking about it the other day. It kind of came to me as a topic, and I thought that could be really good. And I immediately thought, who do I know who's a massive fan of the Beatles? I thought, well, it can't be anyone other than Ellie. So I've never asked you this before. I'd love to know, sort of, when did you first get introduced to the Beatles?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for coming to me, because, yeah, anyone that knows me, I said this with musicals, but anyone that knows me knows that I am a huge Beatles fan. I think they are just the very the best that music has to offer. When I first got exposed to the Beatles, I guess always from a young age, I guess like most people really, parents were into it, especially my dad. And he always had, like, he wasn't one for really listening to CDs, and like he was never like up with the tech of the time. So any CDs he did have was all the Beatles. All he talked about was the Beatles. And I don't remember this, but like, I guess you could say it was exposure to the Beatles. When I was really young, I was maybe like 3 or 4 years old, and we were in Miami, and it was some racing car driver's birthday party. I can't remember who it was, but it was a Planet Hollywood. And my family were there eating, and all of a sudden there were all these paparazzi, all these cameras showed up, film crews. And we're like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, George Harrison appears on the steps of this Planet Hollywood. And yeah, this is the real thing. And I remember my dad telling me, he just like looked him dead in the eye and said, Nesh, which is my mum's name, it's George Harrison. And that story has been like with me ever since I was tiny. And apparently he waved at me when I was in the pram, and I waved back. So I had a close encounter with the Beatles. So that's my little claim to fame there. But yeah, like ever since I was really young, since before I could remember, Beatles have been a part of my life.
That's awesome. And also, I kind of feel embarrassed as your friend, because I can't believe I didn't know that story.
I can't believe you didn't know that. I tell that to everybody. That's like amazing. If it comes up. Yeah, it's a great story. And that's obviously so he cool. passed away, so you know, it's even more special, really.
Oh, wow. So you've waved at one Beatle. You've just got to track down Ringo and Paul next.
Well, I do have a story about Paul as well.
Oh, didn't you? Now you have to tell.
Well, I mean, the story is that me and my brother went to see him. I think it was in 2015. I can't remember exactly. We went to see him live at the O2 in London. It was obviously one of the best gig experiences of my life. We didn't have particularly great seats. We were kind of sat towards the back, but we were rocking out and having the best time. That show, and I'm sure I've told you this, that show we had Dave Grohl come on as a guest, and I remember Paul McCartney introducing him as an up-and-coming guitarist. And and me and I just like lost our minds. And you know, the audience was a very, you can imagine at any kind of Paul McCartney concert, the audience was very varied. There was like a lot of foreign people, there was young people, older people, and a lot of the people didn't know who Dave Grohl was, and me and Aaron were just like freaking out, like, oh my goodness, this is so cool. And everyone was like, what's the big deal? But anyway, after the show, you know, as you know, as a fellow gig goer, you always try and take something away from a gig. If it's a pick, a guitar, a drumstick, maybe a guitar, who knows. We went over to the front and we actually got Paul McCartney's set list. It was his one. And it's now displayed proudly behind me on my music room door.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, didn't meet him per se, but it's still a little bit of a close connection, I feel.
Absolutely. I mean, Charles, getting set lists is hard. I've got a couple on my wall just to the side of me, but yeah, just looking at them, they're not like big name bands. It was very small stuff because you always struggle to get those. So fair play. If you got one for Paul McCartney, imagine you had to like step over a few people.
Oh, yeah. We have a picture actually because when we got it, there was obviously quite a few people that were like, why did he get it? Because it was my brother that got it. And there's some pictures. We got pictures of people taking pictures with the set list and my brother's like holding it because like it was so like in need. But yeah, we're very fortunate to get that one, I think. And yes, proudly displayed on our door. So yeah, great story.
I could very easily go off on a number of tangents about stuff like that, but I won't. I'll refrain. Although I will say, when you said about getting a guitar at a gig, that is something that my absolute guitar hero, as you know, Mark Tremonti, from Lights of Creed, Alter Bridge, etc., was giving away guitars during live sets of the last tour. And I was like 3 feet away from the guy he gave it to.
That's the kind of thing you need to do. You go to every show.
I considered it. But anyway, that's by the by. But as far as the Beatles go, though, so that's really cool. So you've had this sort of childhood connection. Because I know you've been a fan for a long time. I didn't realise it was that deep. That's really nice. And I guess just sort of growing up as you, obviously you're a musician, and I imagine they would have had a massive influence as you sort of learning and finding your feet with music.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, anyone that knows me knows I started my own YouTube channel back in 2010. And I was posting like crappy covers of just me, like I was quite young, obviously just like strumming away on my guitar and singing. And yeah, a few of those are Beatles songs. I've been performing live since I was 15 as well. So Beatles songs have always been a part of my set list. Help is one that tends to go down really well. Just they've really been integrated into my music and especially my songwriting. Any chance that I've had, I've always said that the Beatles are a major influence, and you know, I know a lot of people say it and it's kind of become a bit of a cliche, but it is the truth. You know, for the time they were so different and experimental, and I always liked that, the idea of doing that in my own music. Especially with their chord progressions and their harmonies, were like no one else at the time. So I always try to incorporate that in my own writing.
Yeah, I'm glad you tapped into that, because something I was hoping to kind of try and unpack a bit. I mean, it's something that many writers and documentarians and historians have tried to answer, is like why they were such a huge impact. But I think you've pulled on a few key threads right there. So yeah, what's your kind of personal opinion as to why they landed in the way that they did? Is it just because of their ability to experiment and throw caution to the wind?
I think and I truly believe that they were the inventors of pop music as we know it today. I think before the Beatles, you know, we had jazz, we had blues, we had rock and roll, which was probably the closest thing that we had to pop at the time. And they obviously, they started out kind of doing rock and roll covers and in that kind of genre of music, I guess. But, you know, they started to have really hooky melodies, which I think is the key. And again, with a lot of rock and roll music, chord progressions are generally the same. And they kind of pushed the boundaries on that with a lot of their stuff. And even songs like Please Please Me, which was one of their first singles, I believe. The harmonies in that and the hook, that please, please me, oh yeah. I think that that is, you know, I studied popular music at university. So all I did was study hooks and what makes a good pop song. And every Beatles song after they stopped doing covers was they had that like really catchy hook. They had those harmonies that got stuck in your head. Even in the production, they used tambourines and high-pitched instruments that make you tune into the song even more on a sort of a subconscious level. And I think they came about right place, right time, absolutely. But they were the ones that I guess introduced the world to pop music as we know it. So I think that's what makes them so successful, and what made them so successful at the time is they started a culture of really commercial music that resonated with the masses, basically.
Yeah, because I have to admit, it's hard to find someone who says that they don't like the Beatles. And as previous guest Josh Glenn put it on a show I was on with him, his show Ramblin', the people that say that, it's often their entire personality. It's just to be very sort of counterculture. Oh, yeah. And you know, oh, I don't like that. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, because you're right, you listen to a Beatles song, it's nearly impossible not to kind of just find yourself bopping along and think, oh yeah, I like this melody, I like this song. And there's something that stood out to me actually, because it's a bit of an unusual way to get into the Beatles, because I've never really given them much of a chance. And just in terms of, you know me, you know my music style, my writing style, and it's very far away from the Beatles, but I've always respected them. And about a couple years ago, we saw that film, was it Yesterday's?
Yeah, Yesterday.
It's fine. It's just a kind of bizarre romantic comedy with a high concept. That is that one day this songwriter wakes up from an accident, and for some reason, no one in the entire planet has heard of the Beatles.
Yeah.
And he knows, like yourself, he's covered their songs, and he's like, oh, brilliant, I can do the Beatles. And it resonates. But the thing I took away from that film was the soundtrack. I remember coming away thinking, like, I really need to listen to these guys, because every song I heard, I loved. I thought, like, this is brilliant. And yeah, going back and listening through their albums, I've realized you're right, there's that catchiness, but there's also, I think, a kind of fearlessness to experiment.
Mm.
It's quite unusual. Like, I would say Beatles, I'd love to get your insights on this. For me, when I listen to them, I feel like they have a sound, but at the same time, they don't. You know what I mean? You hear a song, yeah, and you go, that's a Beatles song, but no song sounds the same. Like, everyone is quite experimental and quite different.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that is the case. And I think, again, what made them such a cool band at the time was they did, you know, a lot of the stuff they did was very, very different. I mean, all you've got to listen to is songs like Helter Skelter, which was thought, by the way, to be the very first metal song ever. And then, you know, you listen to Yesterday or The Long and Winding Road, and you've got these beautiful ballads against these kind of like almost grungy sounding songs like Helter Skelter and I Want You, She's So Heavy. There's a lot going on, but I think what resonates through everything they do is John Lennon and Paul McCartney's iconic voices working together in harmony, but also just the gravitas that they bring. You know, we know the Beatles and we know that they're great, and when you listen to it, you know that this is great because they're the Beatles and they influence so much more. So I think when you do listen to the Beatles songs, you always have that in the back of your mind. And going back to, like you said, about people that that claim that they don't like the Beatles, it's impossible to not like the Beatles. I mean, their songs are so great, and even if you watch interviews back from when, you know, in their day, they're a funny bunch as well, you know, like these lads from Liverpool, and they're just joking around, they have banter, and I think you're just denying and just trying to be controversial for the sake of it if you say you don't. But yeah, I think the songs are all very different, and but they're all so great.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the other interesting thing I think from that is when it comes to them and their writing styles, like you said, you've got obviously John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and I think it seems like they're one of those groups where it's a really interesting collaboration of ideas. And that's something that's quite nice when you listen to their albums as you get more into it, is going, oh, this is a John Lennon song, or this is a Paul song, or this is a George Harrison song. And it's really interesting just as a music lover, because you get to hear their different styles kind of come out, and they get to sort of voice their own creative freedom. And it's, I really enjoy that, just as a musician, to sort of sit and listen to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think even from a young age, I remember my dad sort of like, whenever a Beatles song would come on, he's like, oh, do you know who wrote this one? Was it Paul McCartney or was it John Lennon? Obviously they co-wrote, but there was always one that kind of dominated the song. And what I kind of picked up on was, Paul McCartney songs were always more melodic and soulful, I guess.
Yeah.
And John's were always a little bit more on that sort of experimental side, a little bit more strange and different, I guess. But yeah, I think what made them work so well was the fact that they were both so different, had such different ideas, and coming together just made magic, basically. Mm,
totally. And going back to what you were saying a minute ago as well, they had personality. And in some ways, you're right, they're kind of credited as like being the first sort of boy band.
Oh,
ever,
yeah.
Because, yeah, they sort of came to life a bit in interviews, and they all kind of had these different personalities and things going for them, so that's something that fans seem to resonate with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people didn't realize, you know, when you look at maybe, I know they're not together anymore, but a band like One Direction, and you have all these screaming fans, a lot of people don't realize that actually it was exactly the same situation back in the late 50s early 60s with the Beatles. They had this mob of screaming fans that would follow them around everywhere and welcome them as they got off planes, and would just not listen to them playing music, but would just scream at the stage. Just like what we have today with boy bands. They were the first to really to do that. I know you had, you know, Elvis, but this was a band, this was a boy band. You know, they're all very like charming. I remember one interview, I can't remember what interview it was, but a reporter asked, it was either Paul McCartney or John Lennon, I can't remember. I think it was Paul McCartney. They asked him, oh, is Ringo the best drummer in the world? And he goes, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. Yeah. And it was like, it's things like that that were just so funny and what made you just absolutely love them. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's quite a famous quote. I really like it. And yeah, like you said about the screaming fans, like I've watched clips before. I think I heard an interview with Paul McCartney recently, and he was talking about that, about those days, and how actually like, they kind of didn't enjoy doing those gigs because they were like, I couldn't hear ourselves. They just they were almost like, we could have just done anything or nothing, you know, and it would have been the same. It was quite surreal. But that's kind of the interesting thing as well, is that they reached a level of fame and stardom that it seemed like no one else prior to that had achieved. Like you said, people got notoriety and got famous and were popular, but these guys were like mega stars. It was the first, like you said, the first pop group, really. Like everybody loved them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was because it's the first time that you really got to get a feel for the personality behind the music, and they started that pop culture, I think, that whole thing. And that obviously still resonates today with people, because they're still the greatest.
Absolutely, yeah. And like you said, they're still having influence all these years later. Yeah. But it's something I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, because this always fascinates me. I feel like it's a fact that I always forget and then remember and then I'm surprised by. It's the fact that these guys, like everything they did, was in such a short span of time, because they're one of those bands that have such a big influence that I almost just assume, my brain almost just goes, oh, they must have been around for decades. But they weren't. As a group, they were together for, I think, was it less than 10 years they did all of this?
I think it was, they started in, I think it was a little over 10 years, but they were present from, I think it was 57, and they officially disbanded in 1970. So, you know, you have bands that go for decades and decades, and they just were a little over 10 years. They made all that impact, And that's insane when you talk about music these days. You know, like bands will go for decades and well over 10 years. You know, some of our favorite bands today are at least 20 years old, and they still don't have the impact that the Beatles had. Yeah, it was a very short space of time, a very short space of time.
Do you think maybe there's something to that? A sort of kind of, it's almost like lightning in a bottle in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, you know, it's a combination of a few different things. Like, once they disbanded, you would have thought that, you know, they'd all have amazing solo careers. And yeah, Paul McCartney went on to do Wings and his own stuff, which was always successful, but never at a Beatles level. And same with John Lennon, really. And I think it is because they were so magic together, along with obviously George Harrison and Ringo Starr. But yeah, lightning a bottle was a really good way to put it. It was just a perfect storm of things at the time. I think the world needed pop and the Beatles. And, you know, they delivered, and it was a very short space of time, but it worked, and it resonated through the rest of history.
So I have to ask, Ellie, do you have a favourite Beatles album?
I do, yes. Mm-hmm. I think Abbey Road is my favourite Beatles album. Right. I think, again, another thing that kind of tied the Beatles to me from a young age was, you know, both my parents are from London, and my dad is very proud of the fact that he's from London, and will always say, you know, the Beatles, they lived and recorded in London. We'd always drive past Abbey Road Studios, always. Mm. Every time we went to London, we'd drive past and we'd write on the wall outside, we'd take pictures, go across the zebra crossing like everyone does and annoy all the drivers. And yeah, from a young age, that was something that was sort of drummed into me. You know, we had Abbey Road on CD and it was always in the car. So I think it's just the one that kind of stuck with me as I grew up, really. And of course, I got the chance to go to Abbey Road myself and do some recording, which was obviously one of the most amazing moments of my entire life. it was surreal. But I think Abbey Road has to be my favourite, closely followed by Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
Okay, yeah. Okay. No, I love that. And yeah, the song you recorded at Abbey Road is a great song anyway. But yeah, the fact that you got to do it there was, I think, a nice bonus. I remember you telling me all about it and going around and sort of eavesdropping on a few sessions that were happening. And
I was having a field day. I knew that I would never get this opportunity again, or I thought that I might not. And I convinced myself I have to, like, milk the hell out of this experience. So
absolutely,
I went to the gift shop and got myself a little lanyard that said Abbey Road on it, and I was strutting around taking pictures of everything. Of course, I gate crashed Studio 2, because that's obviously mm-hmm. the iconic studio that the Beatles recorded all of their stuff in. It was kind of being used as a bit of a storeroom, actually, which I was a bit disappointed at. Not storeroom, it just wasn't being used. There was just loads of pianos and gear in there. But I went in there, I breathed the air, I touched the ground. I just, like, embodied the essence of the Beatles then and there. But I remember the microphone I used was also a microphone that John Lennon used. Which is obviously very cool. And yeah, like I said, I managed to eavesdrop on a couple of sessions. I remember James Bay was there and Ellie Goulding was there, and they were practicing, I think, for the BBC Proms at the time. But they had a big orchestra in, and they were in Studio One, nice. The big studio that they record all the film soundtracks in. And yeah, it was just incredible, just an absolutely incredible experience. I remember the sound desk was just like in a hallway, the sound desk that was used to record Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
You sent me a picture of that.
Lying around.
Like, what?
Like, yeah, absolute madness. Like, this stuff should be in a museum and it's just here. And it felt so exclusive and so special. And it was just an amazing experience. And just great.
It's incredible. I mean, and I love the fact that it's still an active studio and they've still got some of the gear lying around, and
I just think that's really lovely that they're just like, yeah, you know, might as well keep paying it forward. You know, it could be very easy to kind of lock something up like that, turn it into a museum, and then that's it. But, yeah, you know, the fact that they still use it to this day. Although I would have thought they would have closed off the road by now, because they must get people going across that all the time.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think you can. I mean, they always repaint the wall. I mean, I think it's like every week it's painted, because just so many people want to sign it, which is great. I love that. And yeah, every time you go down there, I think it's just something that people are used to around there. You've got to stop at that zebra crossing. You've got to wait for people to take their pictures. Even when I was there with recording, I took my guitar out and took advantage of the setting to create my own album cover, so to speak, or singles cover, which you can see on my YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, it's all right. Links will be in the bio, don't you worry.
it's just, they can't close that road off. I'm sure it's like, it contributes to one of the big tourism pulls to London. It's one of those things that's always been like with me since I was young. And I remember my dad always telling me, because if you look on the album cover of Abbey Road, Paul McCartney is not wearing any socks or shoes. And I remember my dad saying, oh yeah, he just lives around the corner, he walked home. And you know, we'd always like go past and see his house and imagine he was in there and just give him a little wave. it's so good. I don't think they can shut off that road. It's too iconic.
Yeah, probably not, but still, I mean, that's so cool. And again, I was really happy for you when you went anyway, because I knew how much that meant to you. And it's just really, I think it's just a really cool thing to say, to be like, yeah, I've recorded a song in Abbey Road. It's just, and again, it just, yeah, it boggles my mind that it's still being used today and that they're quite happy to carry that on. So
yeah, why not?
I want to know, Ellie, do you have a favorite Beatles song? Again, I don't think I've ever asked you this before.
Favorite Beatles song? Now that's difficult. I've been asked this so many times and it changes all the time. I think
I completely understand that. Yeah.
I think it's changed at different points. At one point my favorite was Live and Let Die, the Bond theme, just again because it was so different and so crazy and wacky, and that hook, you know, that melody is just insane. For a long time it was Hey Jude. You know, that's an iconic song, that's a classic, that's like the show closer for everything. And I remember even when we saw that one live, it was just like, yeah, we were waiting for this moment. Just the whole stadium, like, na, 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 na. It was just, yeah, incredible. So Hey Jude is definitely one of them. But then again, I love the boppy ones like Help. And one that I think is definitely underrated is I Want You, She's So Heavy. Again, which it was... Also, it's one of the first songs that they reckon contributed to metal music as we know it today. I just did sort of quotes. I remember, again, when I was at uni, I studied this song because I did a comparison between that one and Hailstorm's cover as well, which you would obviously know.
Yes.
Which is an absolutely insane cover, and I think Paul McCartney would be proud of it. But... yeah, that is such an underrated song. It's so great, so grungy and just brilliant and different and experimental as always. But then there's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, again a great song. And who doesn't love a good bit of Yellow Submarine?
Do you know what, that's one of those, I feel like that's quite sort of, yeah, it's funny, that one. I think people like it, but sometimes it's just as a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. I mean, they were like, hey, let's give Ringo a go at writing. And yeah, he came up with that banger.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I seem to recall a really cruel but very funny Family Guy skit about that, where it's like Ringo going, hey, I've written a song. And he hands them a piece of paper and they go, oh, isn't that nice? We'll put it here on the fridge where everyone can see it.
I like it. I think it's great.
It's fine. And it, like you said, it kind of fits into that crazy experimental side of the Beatles a little bit. But I mean, Charles, all of those great, great choices. I have used before on an episode, and I really like Paperback Writer.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a really good tune. Help really stands out to me. Do you know, one that I came away from with that film yesterday was Eleanor Rigby. I found myself listening to that a few times afterwards. I don't know why. There's just something about it it's beautiful. I really like.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
It's very melancholy.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's really simple, very, very effective. And kind of like you said, it's, that's something I've realized more and more is, again, listening to them. And I do stick on an album or a playlist every now and then just to kind of refresh my memories. Yeah, there's just so much diversity in them and in what they do. And it absolutely fascinates me to no end. And I think that is probably, again, like you said, part of what makes them live on. I mean, the fact that, as you said, you can get bands like Hailstorm, this kind of American rock metal band, doing a cover of a Beatles song.
Yeah.
And there's tons of people that continue to do that today because they have such a big influence.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think Yesterday is the song, is one of the most covered. I think it's the most covered song officially of all
time. It's lovely.
It is a lovely song. It's just absolutely masterful piece of songwriting. And it's and there's a reason why the Beatles are studied across music courses and, you know, even GCSE music. You know, that, like, going back to what you said about it being simple, a lot of the stuff they write is simple, and that's what makes good pop music good today, is the ones that are just, you know, got simple chord progression, a really simple melody, but it's catchy and it works. And they did that over and over and over again. And most bands or singers in their time have that one song that's like, you know, it's their song, it's their show closer. And with the Beatles, it's just like every single one of their songs is like that. And yeah, I think that's what makes them so exceptional and so great and so influential. It's the simplicity as much as anything.
Yeah, do you know, you're so right. It's something I've realised more and more when you're writing, and when you look at sort of music in terms of what's popular and across almost any genre, I've come to realise is it's often the stuff that's like you said, the most straightforward. It's not the most technically difficult to play. But that's not the point of music, isn't it? The point of music is that it's meant to be simple. It's meant to be, you know, it's meant to grab you. Whereas, you know, there's lots of bands and musicians out there who are technically phenomenal, like some of the most incredible musicians you'll ever see. And they get an audience and they get an appreciation, but it's nowhere near the level that these kind of guys can reach. I was wondering, do you think that's part of the charm of the Beatles is that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I get the impression that when it comes to some of the songs and their style, that it just, a lot of it seemed almost like straight from the heart.
Yeah.
Do you think that's part of it? It's like an audience, you kind of feel like you're connected to them in a way, listening to the music.
Definitely. And even if you're not a musician, I think you can tell that a lot of the songs are not simple. They're simple in terms of musicianship. Technically, I guess anyone could write them, but they didn't. That's the point. And going back to what you said about people that don't like the Beatles, a lot of the time I find that it's musicians and it's snobby musicians that are a bit like, oh, if it's not, you know, complicated and using all these special chords, then it's not good music. And it's the kind of the same people that are kind of like, yeah, pop music is rubbish. Like, okay, you might not like pop music, but you've got to appreciate it as a genre of music that is, the reason why it is so widely accepted is because, like you said, it resonates with people because it's universal. And that's what the Beatles did and what made them so great.
Yeah.
And why they have that massive following and why it's the same with a lot of pop music. It's because it's simple, it's catchy, and it's charming, and people love that.
Sort absolutely. And I'll put my hand up. You know me long enough. I've been guilty of that. I've been very guilty of that. And to this day, I'm still like, I have no idea what's in the top 40. I'll be honest. But I definitely have tried my best. And this show is kind of therapy in a way for me of like just learning more about the things that people love, like pop culture and stuff. And you know what? My Abigail, my wife, will put on stuff sometimes in the car, like a current song that's in the charts that she likes. And I'll just go along with it. I'll just be like, oh, actually, I can see why people like this. And you're right. There's nothing wrong with that. And yeah, the fact that the Beatles kind of started that is really impressive. You know, kind of at the sort of almost like the kind of, I would say like the birth of the modern world from like the 60s on. You know, a lot of things changed in the world. And like you said, it maybe that's probably what contributed as well, as it was this time in the world that was sort of unlike any other, and then along comes this sound that's like unlike any other, and people are just ready for it.
Absolutely. And one thing I did want to talk about, which I guess a lot of not people kind of observe about the time, is even bands that you think, oh, they probably weren't influenced by the Beatles, I think notably would be like sort of punk bands like Sex Pistols, and yeah, even the Stones. I think they still have to credit the Beatles, because I remember at the time, again, I know this from when I was studying music, the Beatles had a song, you know, I want to hold your hand, which is, you know, lovely and safe and nice, and oh, you know, all fathers want their daughters to, you know, enjoy being with a man by holding their hand. And I remember the Stones came out with a song that was like Stay the Night, or like Sleep Over, or something like that. I can't remember what it was, and it was so like controversial for the time, and so like risque. And I think the reason why is because people were so used to this clean image that the Beatles had, and I think that the Stones and people like that still have to credit the Beatles for having that that contrary kind of way, I guess. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been anything. It just would have been another song, I guess. But a lot of the time, the media were comparing the two and saying, "Look at this! Look how different this is." But yeah, I think it's, and also what you're saying about culture as well at the time and the modern world from the '60s. A lot of things were going on, you know, around that time, culturally. And I think the Beatles provided a bit of an escape as well. Obviously not getting too political, but you know, there was a lot of things going on at the time in the world that weren't great, and the Beatles did provide a bit of an escape, I think, whilst also I guess providing a bit of social commentary. But I guess a lot of the time they kept simple, they kept their songs, you know, experimental and cool, and I think that just really worked at the time.
I'd have to agree. Yeah, again, it was such a unique point in history, and it was just really cool that when you sort of analyze that, and you know, I remember studying history at school, American history in particular, in like the 60s and all the civil rights movements, and the Beatles did come up a few times just as like a commentary, like, oh, and this was happening, and because it was significant, because as you say, it was this sort of, it's almost like this completely different form of music that, I mean, and all forms of music come with a sort of subculture.
Yeah.
All of them do. And so, yeah, this was this huge movement. As you said, it was earlier, it was taking over the world by storm.
Exactly.
So, of course, it goes down in history as not only just being a band that writes nice tunes, but a band that, like, impacted culture, pop culture around it.
Yeah. Like you said, going back to when you were sort of learning history at school, like, I remember when we were talking about when the contraceptive pill came out, it was like the 50s or something, and the Beatles were there. And the Beatles come up for some reason. and the whole like sort of free love as well, and that whole movement in the 60s, the Beatles were obviously a massive part of, and a culturally and iconically kind of tied to that era. But like I said before, I think it was just a perfect storm of loads of different things coming together that made them so monumentally successful beyond what we are yet to see again.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious, do you have a favourite Beatle?
I think it'd have to be Paul McCartney.
Okay.
I know it's an obvious choice, but I think I always preferred his songwriting and his voice. Again, when I used to watch interviews, I fell in love with Paul. I thought he was like the funniest person ever, and I got to see him live, and that holds a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I think Paul McCartney, of the two songwriters, I mean they're all songwriters, but out of Lennon and McCartney, I think McCartney had a bigger impact on my songwriting as well, melody wise. I think I took a lot more away from his songwriting than I did John Lennon. But yeah, I think Paul McCartney's my favourite Beatle. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, knowing you as well as I do, I would say that tracks. absolutely. I think it's a great choice. Funny enough, if I had to pick one, I probably would say that as well. Because just listening to them, a lot of his stuff really leaps out to me. And I was listening to an interview with him recently with Adam Buxton, the comedian, on his show. I've already mentioned him twice now. He's getting free shout outs. not that he needs it. But it was a lovely interview. And he was talking about his latest album, which I then went and listened to. Mm. I think it's just called Paul McCartney 3.
Yeah.
And it struck me that he's kind of quite experimental in that. But like you said, that sense of melody that just is in every song, I thought was really interesting to hear. And he just seemed very, for a man who's had as much fame as he's had and attention in his entire life, he struck me as being very laid back and very sort of at peace with everything, which was nice to hear. You know, he doesn't strike me as an egomaniac or anything like that, which I think is always helps if you want to get on board with having kind of like a musical hero. It's just nice to know that they are, for the most part, nice people as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think Paul McCartney, and he's still going now, and he's so old.
Yeah.
And he's still like the coolest guy ever. And he's still rocking out. He's still performing live. He still has millions of loyal fans around the globe. And I think I think you got to give him credit. Like, he's so great, and he's like you said, he comes across as a very sort of easygoing guy. He's also a fellow vegan, which I obviously love about him. One of the things, I sort of going back to the whole pop music thing and them being simple, one of my favorite Paul McCartney songs is Silly Love Songs. And one of the lines is, some people want to fill the world with silly love songs. And then he says, and what's wrong with that? And I think it's just such an apt statement for music today. It's just, a lot of pop music is about love, and it might not be original or new, and it might be cliche, but like, so what if it's fun and it's good and it's not harming anyone? Like, what is wrong with that? And I think the Beatles did that, and Paul McCartney has continued to do that throughout his whole career. And obviously it works, so I don't think you can knock it.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, actually, because there's a couple of his songs that I really, really like. Because I'm pretty sure he wrote Yesterday's, didn't he? Which I think is a... Was it him that wrote that?
I think it was John Lennon.
Oh, no, I've shot myself in the foot. Okay, never mind. Scrap that.
I'm just Googling it now.
I just had a feeling. It might have been.
Obviously,
they're
both
like
credited, but I think it... Because I remember thinking... It sounds like a McCartney song, but I remember being shocked that actually John Lennon led it. But I could be wrong. It's hard to find out because they're both credited. It is Paul McCartney. And I remember.
Okay, I got it right.
I remember because there's the story that it came to him in a dream, the melody.
Right.
And I think it was something stupid like the melody came to him. And he wrote it with the words, I think it was like eggs and ham or something, just because he didn't have any lyrics. He was like, eggs and ham.
that's brilliant.
So, brilliant. It was Paul McCartney that came up with the melody. Yeah, no, you were right.
Okay, that's fine, because it was one of my favorites. Another one I really liked is, as I say, you mentioned Hey Jude, because it is a tune.
Oh, that is a
And also, I heard a story that apparently he dedicated or kind of wrote it because of John Lennon's son. I think when it was all kind of kicking off.
Julian,
And the band was, so the band was falling apart and Lennon was leaving his wife and it was all very messy.
Yeah.
The fact that Paul kind of went over and was talking to them and trying to be friendly, and then he wrote this song dedicated to his friend's son, I thought was so sweet. And I thought, and then it's like this huge anthem everywhere he goes.
A lot of people don't know that.
And the last one, again, I don't know if this is McCartney or Lennon, but I love the song Blackbird.
Of course,
it's
just
it's a gorgeous song. Again, I have a feeling that might be a McCartney.
That's
one
McCartney.
But
Blackbird,
because it's just lovely. And again, my favorite band, Alter Bridge, obviously have a song called Blackbird, if anyone knows. Yeah. But every time they do it live, Miles Kennedy on the guitar always does the chords to Blackbird by the Beatles as like a nod. He plays it for like a solid minute.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really lovely just hearing that melody.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually slides really nicely into the dark melody of Alter Bridge's Blackbird. So it's like, every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, it gives me chills just thinking about it. But
yeah, Blackbird is, sorry, I was going to say, Blackbird is one of those songs that like every guitarist just wants to know and learn.
Yeah, it's such beautiful.
Such a beautiful little chord progression and melody. And I remember when we saw Paul McCartney live, he actually dedicated that song to John Lennon. As like a little ode to him, and it was very cute. And it was just him and the guitar, and obviously it sounded great. And I remember, again, just sort of going off on a little tangent, when we went to see him live. I remember expecting it to, I remember going in there like, okay, it's not going to be great because, you know, he's an old man. it's not going to sound like the Beatles. You know, his voice is tired and old. And reflecting upon that now, right. I don't in any way remember it being lacking or not any good or like looking at an old man singing on stage. It just wasn't that at all. And I only look back at it with like fondness and how amazing that experience was. I forget what the point of why I was saying this now. You were saying about Blackbird, that's it. And I remember thinking back about that song that he performed live, was just, it was just incredible, so beautiful, and it's still beautiful today, that song.
It is. And yeah, like I said, I totally agree. I think he's still awesome. He's still going. I recommend people go and look up YouTube clips afterwards. Well worth doing, because it's just, like you said, he's still got it. It's still moving. And that's the point of music. I've said it so many times on this show before, that like, it's the whole point of music is just to sit and enjoy it and to feel something. And like you said, the Beatles, you have to give them credit. They kind of were the guys that kicked that off in a big, big way.
Absolutely.
And if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I have a different Beatle that I like, that's totally fine.
Of course
and
it is.
By all means, yeah, reach out to us as well. Like, if you're thinking, if you're listening to them, or if you've got favourites, you've got comments,
I would love to hear. Why?
You tag us in it.
What crazy conspiracy theory do you have about the Beatles? I know there's loads. Yeah. We want to know.
Yeah. Is John Lennon living on the moon with Elvis and Princess Diana? I don't know.
Did Paul McCartney actually die years and years ago? And this is just a fraudster running around pretending to be him.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Hit us up. I will ignore them, but that's fine. So just to kind of wrap up, Ellie, have you got anything else you wanted to comment on, or any sort of anecdotes?
Honestly, same as last time, we could talk about this for absolutely hours and hours and hours. But yeah, we won't. I think a final note to finish on is just, if you've never really given the Beatles a chance, or you kind of just saw them as some old band, like, pick an album, any album, stick it on, and just listen to it with an open heart, and really kind of try and understand it for what it is. It's just simple greatness. Do it. Just stick an album. Do it.
Absolutely. I will say, I'm going to have a really hard time picking a song to open this podcast with. I've already used Paperback Writer, so I've got to think of another one. But anyway, that's my problem. Ellie, where can the good people find you if they don't already know?
I am on Instagram as Ellie_Rialas, R-I-A-L-A-S, _ music. I'm also on YouTube. You just need to type in my name, Ellie Rialas, and you'll see my song come up that I recorded at Abbey Road. Give me a follow on Instagram, talk to me about the Beatles. I'm always wanting to talk about them, so go ahead.
Brilliant. That we will do. I'll link all of that in. All that's left to say is, Ellie, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me again, Harley. I hope to do this again soon.
Absolutely. And there we have it. Thank you so much to Ellie for coming on to the show and sharing your love of the Beatles. I'm sure you listening enjoyed that just as much as I did. Make sure you go and check out Ellie and her music. I've linked in her YouTube channel, including the music video where she recorded the song at Abbey Road. The song is called Just Like This. It's a brilliant little song with a lovely video. Definitely go and check out her stuff. And of course, I'd recommend you go and check out the Beatles. That should be fairly easy because it's the Beatles. They will be wherever you get music.
Regarding the podcast, if you are enjoying this show, I welcome any and all feedback, as well as a lovely 5-star review if you do. You of course get a shout out on the show. Make sure you let me know you've done that on Instagram and Twitter. Both handles are at FundamentalsPod, and you can email me fundamentalspod@yahoo.com. But before I sign off, I'd like to make a special announcement about some upcoming shows on this podcast. Now, normally I like to leave you guessing and I just like to surprise you with a completely random subject. I mean, that's the whole point of this show. But in this case, I'm trying to hone it in across the summer. What I'm doing is I'm launching a special series called Sitcom Summer. It's basically exactly what it says on the tin. I'm going to have guests come on and talk to me about their favourite sitcoms. Now, I've already got a few guests lined up with some cracking shows coming on, and I'm really looking forward to sharing those with you. However, that's not the best part. The best part is, I'm still looking for guests, and I'd like to open that to you guys. So if you're listening to this, and you're thinking of a particular show that you just keep rewatching over and over again that makes you laugh endlessly, I'd love to hear about it. Reach out to me on the platforms that I mentioned, and you could be on the show. It's as simple as that. All of those are linked in the show notes if you want to go straight to them. I'd look forward to hearing from you. That's it from me. All I have to say really is thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and you tell a friend. And until next time, stay tuned and stay safe.